Hey everybody, this is Michael Bain, and this is a resource that we've created with your church for you as parents. And here's the goal. We want to help parents become people who can pass down their faith to their kids. And so this month, we're going to talk about this issue, this idea of what do I do when my kid is almost a teenager? What do I do with this new preteen person that's living in my home, and I'm not really sure how to interact with them because things are changing so fast? And we've got one of the leading experts on preteens and preteen ministry with us today, and it's Nick Deliberto. He's the founder of preteenministry.net, and better yet, this is why you should listen to him. He is the dad of three kids. Two of them are already preteens, and one of them is about to be a preteen. And so I can't wait for him to be able to share with you. So we're going to jump right in, and just let me just go ahead and say, Nick, right off the bat, why don't you just go ahead and start us off, and what's the most important thing that parents of preteens need to know from your perspective? I mean, you've been doing this, working with preteens for 15 years. How can you help set up parents to know, what do I do? My kid is almost a teenager.
Yeah, that's a great question, Michael. And I think the answer to that question is for parents to realize that preteens, 10, 11, 12, 13, you know, 10 to 12 year olds, they're no longer kids and they're not quite teenagers. They're in the transition years and they're transitioning out of childhood and headed towards adolescence. And the big takeaway for parents is that the preteen years, they're a unique age group. It's its own definition. And the more that parents can understand what the changes that their preteens are undergoing, the better they're going to be, you know, the better parent they're going to be.
Absolutely. So, what are some of those changes that you've seen that just show up, that start happening, that parents need to really be aware of?
Well, I would say that preteens are undergoing social change, spiritual change. Their minds and brains, the way they think and process information, is changing. Their emotions are changing. So there's basically like every possible change that preteens can be undergoing, they are undergoing. So I'll start off with the big spiritual change that I see preteens are experiencing. And the big thing here is preteens, you know, before they become preteen, when they're kids, when they're nine and under, they pretty much for the most part accept whatever their parents and their church leaders tell them. So, you know, they'll hear the story of Noah and they will process that information if it's coming from, you know, their parent or their teacher at church. And from a general perspective, they will accept that as truth. But as they hit the preteen years, they're beginning to own their own relationship with Jesus. So when they hear that story again, even if they've heard it, you know, 100 times before, they actually begin to question it. They actually begin to process it from a different developmental standpoint. So they what you see in the preteen years is they question things a lot more. And it's important for, you know, parents, when they see this questioning of their faith and when they see this new processing of their faith, to not freak out and not like be scared about any doubts or concerns or questions that they have, but to actually welcome those questions and to actually encourage those questions. Because if, you know, some preteens are very verbal and some preteens, they kind of keep it all in. So if you have a preteen that, like my 12-year-old, who keeps everything in, it's a matter of like getting them to talk about what they're thinking when it comes to their faith. So the more that you can get them talking and encourage questions and encouraging them to really begin to own their own faith, the better they're going to be. And that really brings me to faith ownership, which is a huge topic when it comes to preteens. You know, they're not quite developmentally, they're not the teenage years yet, so there's some things they're not quite able to do, but the big thing that happens in the preteen years is they're able to take their relationship with Jesus and own it for themselves. And I'm a part of a team that's called 456, and it's a bunch of preteen pastors from around the world, or mainly around the country. And what we've done is we've actually put together an analogy that really helps parents understand what it means when we say faith ownership. And I'll just go ahead and throw this out there so it'll give you a good metaphor to look at. You know, when you look at a child that begins to ride their bike, there comes a day when the training wheels need to be taken off of the bike.
Yes. Yeah.
And, you know, when you're a parent and you have a kid who is ready to begin to, you know, do a bike for the very first time without training wheels, it's a nervous experience for both the parent, or it's a scary experience for both the parent and the kid. But there comes a time where, as you as the parent, you're a lot of times you're holding that child when they're doing it for the very first time without the training wheels, and eventually you let go. And it requires you to let go as the parent, and then it requires the child to take, for the very first time, control of the bike independently. But it's also a critical thing that you as the parent don't just let them go and stay at the house while they go down the street for the very first time. Yeah. No, what your role is in that process is for you to stand right, you know, to be alongside of your child. You're walking right behind them, and if they fall, you go there, you help them, you know, pick themselves up, and then you send them on their way. And I think that's a really great analogy of what this faith ownership looks like, because in the preteen years, what we do as parents is we begin to let go.
Yeah.
We begin. Now, we don't completely let them go, right? But we begin the process of letting them go. But it's important that we stay right alongside of them in their faith journey.
Yes.
And it's equally as important that preteens begin to feel the faith ownership. So they're grabbing on the handlebars of their faith for the very first time, and they're beginning to own it. They're beginning to really talk to God on their own. Mm-hmm. And we allow them that space to do it. We don't go to them and say, okay, you got to do that. No, you give them opportunities to do that, and then you talk about it after. So yes, you're letting go, you're staying next to them, and they're beginning to own that faith process. So, you know, down the road in the teenage years and beyond, then you can kind of, you're a lot more out of the picture. Yeah. But it's important for us leaders to let go, stay close by, and them to begin to take ownership of their faith.
And that's naturally because they're going to question their faith. Like that issue of this week, my preteen in fifth grade is wrestling through, oh, how do I listen to God? Is God going to speak to me? And so in her little, very literal brain, she's figuring that out. But at the same time, we can explain it. We can walk alongside of her, but we have to let her, like you said, we have to let her ride that spiritual bike on her own for a season, because that's the way they're going to learn. So parents shouldn't be scared. The questioning, what you're saying then, the questioning is not something to bring fear. It's something to just continue to ask those questions and empower them slowly. I think that's what I hear you saying.
Yeah, not only should it not cause fear, because that's our natural reaction, because, you know, as parents, we're thinking, oh, they're going to lose their faith. Oh, they're going to walk away from God. So not only should we not fear it, we should also get excited.
Yeah.
Because if they're asking questions and they're questioning things about God, that's a natural part of this process, because we want to see them own that faith in Jesus. And the questioning is something we should get excited about, and we should encourage that to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. What are some of the other changes that you see, you know, the emotional, the faith changes? What are some of the other things that you see happening constantly?
Oh, there's a lot happening. One of the other big things that happens is their emotions as a preteen are all over the place. And this is a really interesting thing to see. And it's very unique to the preteen years. And there's 100 different examples of what this looks like. But let's just take the emotional level. My 12-year-old is really tall. I'm about 5'11", 5'12", and he comes up to right about here, okay? And, you know, physically he's got things happening where he's got hair under his arms, hair, you know, in other places of his body and everything. So he looks more like almost a teenager. right? And emotionally, he wants to be very independent from me at times, where if I, you know, tell him to do something and he shows me a lot of responsibility and he shows that he is emotionally and he's very mature in a lot of different ways. But then this weird thing will happen where we'll see glimpses of the kid that's still in him, where he'll want me to hold him, right? And he's 12 years old and he's really big and he's like, "Daddy, give me a hug and hold me." And I'm holding this almost teenager and it feels really strange. But emotionally, he wants to have that connection with me. Or one of the things that I do at bedtimes is I'll tuck my kids in at night. So I have, you know, my 8-year-old girl who I'll tuck in and I'll give her a lot of like physical attention and, you know, just to give her a kiss and like snuggle next to her. But like then my 12-year-old or my 10-year-old, they want me to like snuggle up against them. And it's really weird because like I had this 12-year-old who wants me to like, you know, lay down with him. And it's just a strange thing because he's almost his teenager, but like emotionally, in some ways, he's still a kid. Or, you know, there'll be glimpses of him acting like a kid on an emotional level at times. And then very polar opposite of that, he'll emotionally act more like a teenager. And in the preteen years, it's a little bit of both. You're going to see that give and take a little bit.
Absolutely. So emotionally, we've just got to be careful not to treat them as a teenager. They're not a teen. They're a kid. No matter what society kind of comes around them, no matter what responsibilities they have, even as they enter sixth grade, they are still a child. At the same time, they're changing. And that's that I think that tension that all of us as preteen parents were like, what, you know, how do we manage that? And, you know, it's just that balance. I think you said it right there, that being present, but also and going with the flow, being flexible with the changes seems like the path, really.
It is. And I think as parents, we tend to go with extremes. And we'll usually, a lot of times we'll do one of two extremes if we're not careful. And if we're not just cognitively thinking about it, we'll see the teenage characteristics in preteens and we'll treat them more like teenagers. And sometimes that'll be good because they need that, but then they'll have this other kid aspect to them that we ignore. Or the other realm or the other end of the spectrum is we'll treat them too much like kids. And because we still think they're just an 8-year-old or a 9-year-old, and really they're not. And either spectrum that we plant ourselves on, it is not going to be in the best interest of preteens. It's really just realizing, like you said, there's a balance and there's a give and take, and we need to, you know, be in the middle somewhere.
One of the things I've seen changes, and I want to know if this is one of those two you've seen, is relationships. So yeah. Relationships are changing for preteens. They're actually finding who their best friends are. And they're listening to that. Any advice to parents of how do you handle friendships in this season? Time away from home, time with their other friends, who their friends are. Any advice there in that relational change that you see, that you've seen with your preteens?
Yeah, friendships are a really big thing with preteens. And as kids, friendships are important. But really what begins to happen in the preteen years, and this is a very healthy developmental process, that they begin to almost get their self-worth and their identity in the friends and in their peer group, okay? And part of that can be unhealthy, because if they're in an unhealthy peer group, well, that could really lead them to some bad choices. But part of it is healthy because they're beginning to take their identity, other than their identity in Christ, which is obviously the most important thing, but their identity shifts from mainly their family identity to there's this big peer identity thing. So a big part of their self-worth is tied up in their friends. So as a result, friendships become really important to them. And as parents, we need to realize that that's okay. First of all, we just need to realize that there's going to be a part of their self-worth that's tied up in their friends. It's a healthy thing and it's okay. But we also really need to pay attention to the friends that they choose and mm-hmm. pay attention to the influence that their peers have on them. And when we see it going down the wrong way, we need to intervene.
Yeah.
And we need to be a part of that. You know, we need to figure out something to do there. And that's going to be different for everybody. But on the flip side, if peer influence is a big thing,
yeah.
then I think really our job as parents is to surround our preteens with a healthy peer group.
That's and great. Yes. Other voices.
Right. So, and I've seen this happen in my 15 plus years of working with preteens in a ministry church setting. I see that one of the great things about the local church is that the church is able to provide a really healthy peer group for preteens and teenagers and, of course, kids. But I would say that if you can find it at church, go for it. If you can't find it at church, find it somewhere. But it's really critically important that your preteens are around a good peer influence. And I've seen this whole positive peer pressure thing happen time and time again. Mm-hmm. I've seen groups of preteens come together, and I've seen them have a positive influence on each other when it comes to their faith, when it comes to their prayer life, to their passion for God, and then just to making good choices.
Yeah.
Because if your peers that are around you are making good choices, they're following Jesus, they're not perfect, they're messing up, but they're beginning to make good life choices, then that's going to rub off on you. And the preteen years I see are a very pivotal group of years, because if preteens begin to make good decisions when it comes to their faith, but then also just good life decisions in the preteen years,
yes,
then that puts them on a good path to make good decisions as they hit junior high and high school. And if they begin to make a lot of bad decisions when it comes to their peers and just bad life decisions, I see that begin to, you know, develop, and then it just kind of carries on to the high school years. So one of the biggest things that you could do is surround your preteen with a good positive peer influence.
Oh, that's so true. And you said something that's very important, being able to step in and influence and have discussions about the power of friendships. One of the beautiful things about preteen years is that we want to say over and over again, I know you believe this, we've talked about this, they're still listening.
Yeah, they are.
And their little hearts are open. Yeah. That heart of a child, they're open. They're ready for mom and dad to speak in. That's why we can't, we work toward them just in a different way. You know, our relationship is changing, then our strategy is changing. One of those areas I've seen changing, and that we've seen that we want to kind of, I know every parent has, is technology and their phones and iPods. And you know, I can text my kids on their iPod now, check in with them and communicate that way. And so kind of talk about that as a dad. You know, how do you balance a technology issue? What tips do you have for parents as we kind of wrap up today?
Technology is a big thing, and it's a much bigger thing in the last 3 to 5 years than it was 5, 10 years ago, because all of my kids, 12, 10, and 8, they all have multiple digital devices. They have an iPod, they have either an iPad or a tablet, and they have a computer. So they just have so much more access to everything that's out there in the online world and in the social media world, and with the world of social media that's out there, and you know, online gaming and just everything that's out there, preteens have a lot of access to the world. And it can be a good thing and a bad thing. But specifically when you're talking about technology, I think it's going to be a very contextual thing for every individual parent. And what I see happen is that parents don't get on the same page. So in other words, if there's a mom and dad that are both present in the home, they don't talk to each other and figure out what the boundaries are going to be.
Yes.
Or if it's a single parent, single dad or single mom, that mom or dad doesn't have a conversation with themselves and decide, hey, what do I want the boundaries to be?
That's right.
So I think, number one, it's a matter of deciding what those boundaries are going to be and then communicating what those boundaries will be for their preteen and then sticking to it.
That's right.
That's a huge thing. It's a huge thing. Because just in my own world, the boundaries that we have for our kids are very different than boundaries that other parents around us have. But we're on the same page, you know, my wife and I, about that. And then we feel comfortable. The other thing is, okay, so that's number one. And then number two, parents need to know what's out there and what their preteens are into. Mm-hmm. So I'll use this one example, and parents that are hearing this are going to be on opposite sides of, you know, the fence on this, and that's fine. But I'm just using this as an example. So one social media platform that preteens are really into is Instagram.
Yeah.
It's big with even high school students, and, you know, preteens are jumping on Instagram right now even more, way more than Facebook and other social media platforms. And, you know, Instagram allows a lot of the same features and is very similar to other social media platforms that parents would definitely say no to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what I would encourage parents of preteens for Instagram is to realize, hey, Instagram is a hot thing right now. It's a big thing. So you need to jump on Instagram. You need, if you're considering allowing your preteen to be on Instagram, you need to jump on it. You need to know, hey, what is the age limit? Like, what is the age limit that Instagram says should be that age? And you need to make a decision about whether you feel like Instagram is or is not something that you would let your preteen on. And here's the thing. It's not just Instagram. It's Snapchat. And there's, you know, we live in a social media world.
Yeah.
So Instagram's hot now, but 6 months, later, a year down the road, yeah, it's probably going to be something else. And as a parent, you just need to have a heartbeat and say, okay, I need to know what's out there and I need to dive into it and then make a decision on whether or not I'm going to let my preteen be a part of that. And you know what? Here's the deal. That doesn't come just with social media, mm-hmm, but it also comes with video games,
yep,
and it comes with movies, and it comes with the media in general.
Yep.
You know, you as a parent need to know what's out there because you're able to make a decision. If you don't know what's out there, if you don't know the pros and cons of it, and you just let your preteen go on it, that's not going to be helpful. And the other side of the spectrum is, if you don't know what's out there and you just say no to everything,
yes,
then you're doing what I said before is not a good thing. And you're holding on,
yep,
too tightly to your,
yep,
preteen. Because really, as a parent, your goal is to begin the letting go process, not just with their faith journey, but in everything.
That's
like
right.
These are the years where you as a parent have to say, I'm going to begin to let go on some things.
Yes.
And I need to know what those things are going to be, technology, social media, but even with friends, sleeping over and everything. You just need to begin that letting go process and be thinking about what you want to let go of and what you want to still hold on to and just, you know, begin. Because really your ultimate goal as a parent, when they hit 18, 19, 20 years old or whatever it is to completely let go. So at some point you need to begin the let going process, and that really is what happens in the preteen years.
Absolutely. And you know, the thing with the, you know, I come back with technology and all of this. A no today, this is a powerful principle. A no today is a yes tomorrow. And it's okay to look at your preteen. There are some movies I want my preteen to see. One of those is a classic, Back to the Future. I want my preteen to see that, but not yet. I've seen the movies, and I know some of the things there. And so, man, here, when she's in sixth grade next year, we'll probably watch those together. Because a no today is a yes, is something, especially with all the apps and the features, is a yes tomorrow. And you get to lean in and lead them that direction. Here's the deal. Our roles as parents, and are just shaping and morphing from, you know, the protector to the guider. And right. We're guides. Nick, this has been absolutely amazing. I've benefited from it. I'm a parent of a preteen, and I know all of us have loved hearing and processing your thoughts. How can people get in touch with you out there if they're listening to this?
Well, I think the best place to go is website, preteenministry.net, and that's kind of the hub of everything that I do. And a lot of the resources and curriculum and stuff that is on there is really more focused on church leaders that have preteens in their ministry. But I feel like if you go to the blog and then if you go to the Facebook link that'll be on the homepage, there's a lot of good content that's put out that would be really applicable to parents as well.
That's great. Thanks so much for being with us today, Nick. Great, great stuff. To all the parents that are out there listening, we're praying for you as you invest in your children and as you work to pass down your faith. Thanks for being with us. And make sure and you tell your church thanks for helping provide this resource for you. We'll see you next time.